Hello and welcome to Keanu Club, like a cool breeze over the mountains. This is episode 60, Henry's Crime, from 2010. I'm Mike Manzi.
And I'm Joey Lewandowski, and with us today we have Jess Collins. Hi, Jess.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, good. So before we get into this movie, three quick bits of housekeeping. In our continued effort to get to the movies, to get to the hits, we skipped three more things leading up to this. The first thing we skipped was The Day the Earth Was Green, which is, I would imagine, some kind of environmental short on The Day the Earth Stood Still DVD Blu-ray. Like Mike watched the Great Warming documentary, there was nothing to talk about there. I feel like this is the same sort of thing. Is that movie had like an environmental message, right? And so I can only imagine this is like a 5 or 10 minute thing about like, hey, do your part or otherwise aliens are going to come down and destroy our planet.
Yeah, and I wasn't aware how environmentally conscious Keanu was before doing Keanu Club. So, I mean, if there's anything to gain from all of this, I think it's just that he cares about the planet Earth. He wants it to be here long after he's gone.
The second thing we skipped was Easy to Assemble / Sparhusen. It's a TV web series. There's at least one episode on YouTube. It's basically A Mighty Wind, the Christopher Guest movie, if A Mighty Wind was about people from Sweden. And Keanu is a music producer who's super into the sounds of whales, right?
Yeah, that's like his whole thing is, like, Phil Spector had the wall of sound. He has the whale of sound.
Oh,
so that's what they bring him in. To sort of spruce up their song. It's funny because, like, the band look like Kraftwerk, but and you expect them to be, like, an industrial-type band, but they sound more like the Beatles or something. So that was, I thought that was part of the joke that kind of worked.
And I was trying to figure out why he's in such a low-budget thing, then I remembered that it was created by Ileana Douglas, who he probably met on the set of Action, that TV show back, the Jane Moore TV show back right before The Matrix, so maybe they were friends? I don't know, but like it's crazy low budget for him to be involved with, but it's cool that he's down for whatever.
Yeah, and this was the Sparhusen thing is actually a spin-off from her web series Easy to Assemble, which is basically about working at IKEA. It was kind of like an earlier web show where they were called like webisodes instead of like an actual web series. And then this Sparhusen thing, I think, was like sort of an offshoot idea from that they ran with. The one part I really liked that got a huge laugh out of me was when Keanu first comes on screen, he's wearing these giant sunglasses, and then he takes them off, and he's got another pair of sunglasses
yep.
on underneath, and that was pretty much the main gag in the entire thing.
And then the third thing we skipped is this documentary called A Man's Story, which is a documentary about British fashion designer Oswald Boateng. Don Cheadle's in it, Michael Bay is in it, Jamie Foxx is in it, Gabriel Byrne is in it, Prince Charles is in it, Richard Branson's in it. I own the DVD, but this is one that Mike didn't even watch.
Yeah, there was about a month or so ago, there was a day I took a day or two to watch all of these documentaries to see if they were actually worth talking about, and this is one I forgot to watch. I got lost in that mix that day, that lost weekend of Keanu documentaries. There's like six or something that I watched. It was crazy. I was losing it. So I missed this one, and I decided not to even watch it to talk about it here now.
And sadly, it probably would have served us just as well to have missed or forgotten Henry's Crime, because this movie is pretty much nothing, in my opinion. It's underwhelming to me, which is sort of par for the course now, and I'm really disappointed by that. Jess, when you signed up to do this movie, had you heard of this before?
Like the last movie that I did, I had no idea anything about it. I didn't read anything about it. I decided to watch it, and so right now I'm living with my parents, and my mom watched this movie with me, and the movie was over, and her exact quote was, "So what happened? The movie can't be over." And I said, "Well, yeah, it's over. The credits they're rolling." And she was like, "Well, we don't even know what happened. I can't believe it."
Yeah, this movie was rough. I feel like we're on a downswing with Keanu here in the late 2000s. Was this by any chance like straight to video, Joey? Would you know like the release history of this? Because I never heard of this movie before Keanu Club.
Let me look it up. Henry's Crime, it was in theaters. It made $204,000 in theaters. Let me see if I can find a budget. I'm getting conflicting reports now. So the budget, according to Google, is $12 million, which feels probably about right.
Yeah, you got James Caan, and you got Keanu, so.
Google says the box office was 2.2 million, but Box Office Mojo says 200,000. So I'm going to go with Box Office Mojo over Google.
Yeah, I just don't understand this movie. Like, it was one of these movies, it's rare that it comes along, but I feel like I don't understand it, and it kind of like just broke me halfway through, and I just ended up watching it in sort of a daze until it ended. Like, it never before was have I sort of encountered like a first act quite like this, where all these things happen to the main character, but like he's completely unaffected by him, and like he just can't react or emote or feel anything. It's just really weird to watch.
It's a little bit meta because he's playing a bad actor in a role, in a movie where his role is like doesn't have any range. So it's weird to see him, you know, stereotypically this not great actor, Keanu Reeves, that we've talked about for 60 episodes now, playing a character with limited role, like, and he's not good at that. So it's this weird twist on reality, kind of.
Yeah, I wrote down that he had more emotions acting like an actor than he did actually portraying his role.
Yeah, because Keanu, the toll booth teller and getaway driver, that version, like, is just, he's just wooden. He's just really like a cardboard cutout. I don't want to be mean because I do like a lot of Keanu's work, but it's almost like the ultimate Keanu part. It's like you just need to stand there and be a presence. Like, but then when he meets Vera Farmiga and gets hit by the car and stuff, the movie kind of picks up a little bit, but I just think because her energy is so good, her sort of inclusion in this movie kept me going. But yeah, it's really not until the end when he becomes part of the play that his actual acting as an actor in the movie is okay and seems good, but him acting in the rest of the film just doesn't elicit like anything from me.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. I mean, when I first started watching the movie, I'm like, okay, is he like mentally unwell? Is he a few crayons short of a like Crayola box? I don't really understand what's happening. I mean, it's like you said, you know, all of this stuff is happening to him and he's just like not emoting at all. I don't understand, you know, why he let these things happen to himself.
He comes home from work and his wife's like, "Do you love me anymore?" And he's like, "Eh." Then like he gets arrested for the, he doesn't know he's going to be in a stick up, but he thinks he's going to play softball, but he gets arrested for robbing a bank and they're like, "You're going to go to jail." He's like, all right, like whatever. The setup to this movie just didn't get me. Like, I don't feel like they set him up well. Like, there's way too much going on in that first act to get him where he needs to be. I almost feel like the movie should have started with him being released from prison, and you find out along the way that he shouldn't have been arrested. He was the getaway driver, but it was sort of like he didn't know he was going to be a getaway driver. I just feel like all that could have been revealed throughout the film instead of those first like 20 minutes.
So my big problem with this movie is that all movie long, it's setting up a double con. At least to me, I would have put money on the fact that either James Caan or Vera were gonna like, I thought it was like a long, like twisted con that somehow Vera and like James Caan had teamed up and that they were gonna take Keanu out of all of his money, but none of that ever happened. Cause like they're talking about like what's a con man? He's like, I call it a confidence man. And like, and maybe it's, that's what you're supposed to think, but it felt like, and maybe just because we watched Matchstick Men recently, but it felt like Keanu was sort of the sucker in here, that he was being manipulated the whole time by James Caan, by Vera, into becoming part of this play and having that specific dressing room and having, like, you know, helping them dig the tunnel and robbing the bank, which they do successfully to no, like, it just, it, okay. But, like, I really thought that, like, she was going to screw him over or something and, like, drive off with James Caan and he was going to get busted again. But none of that happens. And I don't know if I read into this too much or if that was something that was actually, it felt like it was hinted at in the movie, but I was really waiting for, like, the twist, the reveal, like, the, oh, you're getting screwed over. And then just for that moment to be the guy who, like, inducted him into the first one that he got arrested for, but then they, like, dispatch him quickly. So, like, it's all just, like, super weird. Like, it's all straightforward with no twists or turns.
Yeah, I was waiting for the other shoe to drop. I didn't really understand why, you know, Vera was, like, totally okay with being surrounded by felons. Like, she didn't question it. She just went along with everything.
Oh, man, I don't know.
I wrote that at one point, is James Caan her father? You know, like that to me is where I was going too. Like, I absolutely thought they were setting all this con artist stuff up for a twist end. But yeah, it's just none of that. I don't feel like they were trying to fool us either. I just feel like this was a relationship story set around a bank heist, right? Like, I wanted the bank heist movie, but instead it's about Keanu learning to love again, like, by, like, trying to plan a heist and falling in love with one of the actresses at the theater that has the tunnel that they used to use for bootlegging that connects to the old bank vault. Like, it's all very convoluted, and it just feels like it should be more in the foreground, all this bank robbery stuff, but there's a lot of just hanging out at the theater, talking about the play, watching rehearsals, all that crap too.
But, like, even if that was the case, like, him learning how to love again, he is, like, totally okay when he gets out of prison and Judy Greer is like, I met someone and she's pregnant and, you know, she's married now or engaged or dating or living with whatever, this pyramid scheme salesman. He's totally okay with it. He, like, lets things roll off his back, which is cool, but, like, that can't be the moral of him, like, learning to love again if... Because there was no sign that he was ever, like, remorseful or regretful or bitter that Judy Greer left him.
Yeah, I don't know. He wasn't even upset when... I'm just going to call him the Plague. Fisher Stevens' character. I think his name's Lenny. You know, he was just like, he's okay with him coming back in the picture and helping them. I mean, I don't understand. Like, if this was me, I would have punched that guy right in the face. Like, wouldn't be allowed anywhere near my heist. I don't know. This movie, it made me angry. This is the first time I've watched one of these movies and all I've written down are questions.
It's too bad, too, because Keanu, I feel like, is the perfect mark for a movie like this. Like, he, even though it wasn't the best movie when we watched Street Kings, like, the whole thing was, you know, his friend sort of, like, setting up this conspiracy to save his neck, and, like, he had to be Keanu the ignorant in order for all of it to work. And I almost feel like the same thing could have been here, is, like, he is sort of playing a character that is the perfect mark, and it's a wasted opportunity, and it makes no sense that he falls in love with Vera Farmiga, who isn't a nice person, you know, like, is kind of a nice queen, and I don't get the sense that she really likes his character all that much. I get more the sense that she's just trying to, like, find some satisfaction in her life somewhere, anywhere, and along comes Keanu, so, like, who wouldn't try to pursue him for a night or two? But it's just, I don't see how he falls for her. I don't see him robbing the bank in the first place. Like, he's not a criminal, he's not a crook, he has no experience with any of that beforehand, and I don't get why he's such a good actor. Like, that's the weirdest thing, is, like, we gotta rob the bank next door to the theater, so you join the play and we'll rob the bank. Like, what is that?
I got an idea.
What?
What if you played Lepakin?
What?
If you played Lepakin, we could get in that tunnel anytime we wanted to.
They have a Lepakin.
What if they didn't?
What do you mean?
What do I mean? What if they didn't have a Lepakin?
I can't be Lepakin. I'm not an actor.
Well, you're not a bank robber either, and you're doing that, aren't you?
No, Max, come on.
Listen. She said you are a natural.
So?
So, a natural is a natural. And a natural means that you can do it.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. You're going to be Lepakin.
There has to be another way.
No, this is the way.
I don't know, Max.
Listen, you want the banker, don't you?
Yeah, I want it.
Well, then you're going to be Lepakin. End the story. You're going to be great. I swear to you.
It's crazy.
You're going to be great.
It was like, and this is a movie that I've never seen, but it felt like they were setting up that Ashley Judd movie, Double Jeopardy.
Yes.
He's like, oh, I've been convicted of robbing this bank. If I rob the same bank, they can't charge me with the same crime, but, like, it's a different crime. Like, that seems to be his inspiration when he's in that bathroom of the theater and looks at the wall and sees, like, the bootlegging newspaper article. He's like, oh, I can just do the same thing and not get caught. I mean, I feel like, okay, I feel like this entire movie, and there's no useful trivia on IMDb, so there's, like, nobody cares about this movie. I feel like this whole movie came out of the fact that somebody somewhere was like, if you do the time, you might as well do the crime. And they're like, how can we make a movie about that? And then they just wrote a movie around that line.
I figured it out.
You figured what out?
My dream.
Oh, that's good, good. So what is it?
The bank.
The bank is your dream?
Yeah.
What bank?
The one I didn't rob.
That's your dream?
Yeah.
What kind of cockamamie dream is that?
I did the time. I may as well have done the crime.
Time crime, right.
Because, like, there's no other reason for, like, that to lead to what... Like, it's... Because he's not a bad guy. He's just sort of, like, a straight down-the-road guy. There's no transformation. He's pretty much the same guy at the beginning as he is at the end. It's just strange.
If we're going to get, like, super meta on this, it's a crime that someone even thought to make this movie, and they had the thought to make it, and they're like, you know what? Let's just go through with it. Let's just see what happens. And I wish they wouldn't have.
Neither do I. It's a tough one.
So here is my brush with celebrity, and this is, like, brush in the most roundabout sense, but Vera Farmiga, the Farmiga family, was raised or something. They were all born in my town. And her younger brother, Alex, who is not a celebrity, because, you know, Thaisa is her younger sister. And I think she's got another sister who maybe acted a little bit. But, like, you know, Vera's significantly older. She's been in a whole bunch of stuff. Thaisa's in a bunch of stuff. But her younger brother, Alex, is my age, and he was in my fifth grade class. He was a nice kid. Like, there was nothing, you know, I wasn't really super friends with him. And then a couple years later, they moved away. And then, like, a couple years after that, they're like, you know, the Farmiga family, you know, Vera's in this new Scorsese movie with Leonardo DiCaprio. I'm like, what? Like, that's... So, like, that is my brush with celebrity. And, like, my tiny little town where nothing ever happens and, you know, 2,000 people or whatever, the Farmiga family, like, if you look up where I'm from on Wiki, like, there's, like, notable, like, celebrities or notable alumni or whatever. It's just, like, it's her. Like, that's it. Like, so it's cool. Like, that's the closest I get. So I sort of have my own personal connection to this movie.
More like a lost connection. I hear it. You know, like, you guys probably crossed paths in the supermarket without even realizing it one day.
Ooh, like a Craigslist misconnection? Like, ooh, you, 42, beautiful movie star. Me, at the time, like, 18... Yeah, maybe.
Oh, you know what I did like about this movie? Even though it felt mostly entirely out of place, I did like the soundtrack. I did not feel like it went along with the movie in the way that the movie wanted it to. Like, but there's some really great soul music in this movie. And so, you know, check out the soundtrack or at least look it up on YouTube and check out a couple of the songs. Add them to your collection.
It reminded me... Okay, so I think this movie especially does not compare well because we just watched Out of Sight, and that is, you know, a perfect crime movie, a perfect heist movie. It's funny. It's everything you want it to be. This is close enough to that to compare to that and just falls short in every regard. The music in this felt... At times, not necessarily the soul music, but some of it felt like that kind of music, like the music from the Ocean's 11 movie. It's just like the whole feel of this, like what they were going for was done perfectly 12 years earlier by Steven Soderbergh with Out of Sight. And here it's just like, okay.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the problem is Out of Sight or Soderbergh with his heist film sort of set a new precedent of what a fun, cool heist movie should be like. And I feel like this wasn't supposed to be a fun, cool heist movie. It's supposed to be sort of like a thinky, dramatic, weird heist movie. But they crammed it into like an Ocean's type style. You know, they tried to cram the out of sight style into this story. And I just feel like therein lies the conflict. It doesn't seem like this is a story where a bunch of people are going to be, you know, snappy and well-dressed and, like, having fun pulling off the heist. And this one, it's like it's a chore and it's a burden and all that type of stuff. So like, the poppy cool music doesn't really fit with what I'm watching.
Yep. You know, I don't know, Jess, I don't know if you've seen this movie, but there's a movie that came out this year, maybe last year, I guess, depending on where you live. But I know Mike and I saw this year. Mike, did you get vibes early on before he got arrested? I felt like it felt like Patterson, the Jim Jarmusch movie with Adam Driver.
Yeah, I felt like that too, especially at the very beginning, the like opening scene where he's just like driving from his job.
Yeah.
Yeah, it felt just like that.
And I was like, oh, if this is like a movie where like he and Judy Greer are just like hanging out at their house, and I'm okay with that because like Patterson's a really super weird movie, but like it's cool because like nothing really happens and that's okay. Here, nothing really happens and that's a big problem.
Yeah, now that you mention it, yeah, I see that totally. And I was ready for a movie about a toll booth worker. that looked like Keanu. Like, yeah. I would have been fine with that. And so that when he gets arrested, I'm like, wait, what's happening now? Like, what movie is this turning into and everything? And that's sort of the moment in Patterson, like, you know, around the time that Keanu gets arrested in this and it turns into the wrong movie is sort of the same time around Patterson where I realize I'm really going to like that movie because he starts reading and writing poetry and, you know, you start getting more into the head of the character and I really like that character. So... yeah, it would have worked a lot better if he had just never went to jail and tried to work out his marital issues with his wife. Did I just say that? Like, do I want to see that movie instead?
Well, I don't want to see this movie, so, like, whatever it's going to be, like, make it better than this, because, wow, like, it, ooh.
Or you know what else? I was getting vibes of Small Time Crooks a little, that Woody Allen movie. Like, if this was a comedy about a bunch of actors who found a tunnel underneath the theater and decided to rob the bank, that could have worked for me also. Like, especially the cast of people they had in the play. I thought there was a couple, like, you got Peter Stormare in here back.
Yeah, but, like, with nothing to do.
Right, but, yeah, he yells a couple times, but it would have been great to see him digging in the tunnel.
Yeah, we have a couple Cage connections. I mean, you said he's back from Constantine. Peter Stormare was in 3 Cage movies. Judy Greer was in Adaptation. James Caan was in Honeymoon in Vegas. This felt more like a, like, Cage would be better in this. Like, it's like a bumbling criminal. Then Keanu, like, I don't know, it just...
Well, this is like Keanu's Stolen.
I guess, but it's, like, Stolen's fun, though. This is not fun.
Stolen is one of my favorite guilty pleasures of the last few years.
I do have to criticize this movie because it's set in New York, and they don't even have Easy Pass. They have Through Pass. So I guess, like, they couldn't get clearance from Easy Pass. Like, he's not an Easy Pass person. He's a Through Pass guy. So, oh, man, whatever. This movie had 3 writers, believe it or not. And one of the guys, Stephen Hamill, has 3 writing credits. He has this, and then he has Replicas and Rally Car, which are 2 Keanu movies that are, like, in pre-production right now. So it's weird that this guy literally only writes Keanu movies. Or maybe it's like a nom de plume for Keanu, and he's, like, writing scripts for himself, and he's not putting his name on it.
I was looking forward to those movies you mentioned, but now after seeing this, I'm a little worried. But hopefully, maybe it's not him, but the other 2 writers involved here that drove this off course, because I definitely, you know, see a version where this could work. Like I think I gave enough examples, I don't have to repeat myself, but I especially like the one where the movie opens with him getting out of jail, and then, you know, we slowly learn why he was in jail and why he's robbing the bank. Even though it is kind of dumb, and Joey, I totally agree with you, like, the whole saying, if you did the time, you might as well do the crime. Like, the whole saying is, if you do the crime, you do the time. Like, the other way around isn't even a saying.
Well, that's the point. Like, that's, like, it's a play on words. And, like, that's why I think it was, like, somebody who, like, had that idea to be like, oh, look how clever I am. Like, yeah. Let's do a movie about this. And it's just, like, that's not enough.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. It's not a good premise. Like, it's not a strong enough premise, I feel, because it's just a dumb saying. Like, it's not enough to go on, absolutely.
In the beginning of the movie, when he gets recruited unknowingly to rob the bank, he gets, I guess, invited to join a softball game. I'm like, oh, back to hardball Keanu. Like, where's G-Baby at?
R.I.P. G-Baby.
Yeah, we don't even have baseball, really, just in uniforms. But, like, can either of you explain to me why Keanu doesn't snitch? Just so that we have a movie? Like, there's no reason for him to do 3 years.
Maybe he just hated his life so much that he decided he was going to go to jail.
Which I find hard to believe because he's married to the wonderful Judy Greer, who only wants to have a family with him.
And he hates prison.
It's so strange. It's there's no way to read this guy. Like, he's got no personality.
Yeah, but does he hate prison? I mean, like, does he hate anything? The only thing I know he loves is scrambled eggs, because that's the only thing he eats this entire movie.
And he has no dreams, right? Like, that seems to be his big flaw. We come to find out through James Caan, his, you know, crazy lifetime cellmate. Like, he's in there for life. This guy's like a maniac. But, like, he's going to take James Caan's word for it. Like, the reason that Keanu is so messed up and, like, can't feel anything is because he never dreams of doing anything in his life. I didn't buy that as any kind of, you know, motivation for changing his life. Like, I didn't get the sense that he found out what his dream was going to be by the end of the movie and went on to pursue it. Did he always want to be an actor and wear that shitty goatee? It's so strange.
Well, looking at my notes now, they do sort of kind of try to set up a little bit of thing. Like, So Judy Greer visits him in prison. She's like, I'm in love with someone else. He's like, okay.
He's literally like, yep, okay.
That's
sure.
fine.
Is a problem for me.
It is a problem. It's a very big problem. Ostensibly, between the time that they have that conversation and he gets out, he says, these are the things that I want from the house. You can have the rest. I'm okay. And so she gives him, like, a Xerox box full of stuff. And that's it. Like, that's all the things in the world that he wants. And one of those things is his high school yearbook. And in that high school yearbook, we see his picture, and it's the award that he won was most nicest guy. And I guess that's characterization. He's always been, like, the nice guy. And that, you know, that's why he went to jail, but that's not enough. And then there's, like, something, like, handwrote next to their name. It's something really stupid and, like,
yeah,
I don't remember what it was, but it's just, like, why is this in the movie? Like, that's characterization?
Yeah, that is the weakest characterization ever, I feel. What I got out of that, I even missed the nicest guy little line there. What I was getting at it was I wondered if that was Keanu's actual high school yearbook picture.
Oh, okay.
And then he looks down, and the guy who wrote, like, the message to him is Fisher Stevens' character. So that was, like, right. Fisher Stevens' high school picture. Yeah, it's all so weird, like, why he's reflecting upon that. He's like, oh, what do you know? I went to high school with the guy who got me arrested that I didn't snitch on that is going to waltz back into my life. I'm going to let him shove me around, even though I'm twice his size. Like, I'm saying that now, but it's not like I read that from the scene or anything. You know, I wasn't picking any of that up.
I'm looking back to my notes again, like, on their first date, Keanu tells Vera that we're going to rob this bank, which is, like, exactly why I think it's a setup. That's where, like, either the switch clicks in her brain, like, I'm going to take this guy for his money, because he has no dreams. Everybody else, I guess, has a dream. Like, James Caan kind of has a dream. His dream is just to stay in prison, I guess. She has a dream that she's this shitty Buffalo wannabe actress, right? And she's on the Buffalotto commercial, which is great.
Take a chance on life. Take a chance on Buffalotto.
And she wants to go to Hollywood, even though she's, you know, too old to really make it, whatever. That's her dream. And so, to me, it makes sense that she wants money, and she needs money to, like, move out there and try to start a life and, like, try to start acting out there. Because if you rob $8 million from this bank, that's a lot of money. You can go out there and just try to become an actress. And so, like, he tells her everything so quickly, and they fall in love so quickly, and they sip tea with Miss McGill, or they, you know, in Zack Attack parlance, they quadruple space really quickly, and then nothing comes of it. It's just like a regular relationship. Like, what?
Yeah, I absolutely felt that next morning at the breakfast table where she's, like, kissing Keanu and James Caan finds out that she knows everything, I felt there in that scene that was where the con was starting to go wrong. Like I was totally believing that James Caan and Vera Farmiga were setting all this up against Keanu.
Yeah, yeah.
And that she was sort of diverting from the plan by falling in love with Keanu. And James Caan in that scene, I was watching him, and it looked like he was angry at
he
her
is
for
pissed.
Other reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, there's other reasons aside from, it's like, you're screwing this up for us, kind of, is what I was reading it as. But no, like, he ends up spending the rest of the movie as, like, a really polite ex-con helping out at the theater while they're doing
the
heist.
But is he really
well.
Helping out at the theater? Because, like, he's like, I'm going to volunteer at the theater. And then just, like, all the time spent there that we see, he's just digging up dirt.
But he actually is, like, handing out flyers on the day of the performance, and he's just being a presence there more than I feel like necessary, even. I don't feel like he needed to be involved in the theater side of stuff as much. He could have just been sneaking around, like, digging the tunnel, doing that kind of thing. He is set up to be such, like, this guy who could be sort of set off at his parole hearing to, you know, and be like a madman and nuts, but then he turns out to be kind of like a sweet old man by the end of the movie. He lets Keanu get out of the car. Presumably in the scene after this abruptly ends, I assume, like, he is going to meet up with Keanu and give him his cut. It felt against the character up until, you know, the third act or so. It's like, needs to be nice.
I saw that breakfast scene as part of the con that it was going well. That her job was to fall in love with him and sort of gain his trust. And so I couldn't tell why he would be pissed, but, like, they come back and James Caan's like, oh no, she knows. But, like, in his mind, he's like, oh, this is all going according to plan. That, like, her job is to sort of seduce him and, you know, set him up in a way. And then none of that happens.
There's so many like loopholes in this movie that we could fill with so many different and quite frankly better ideas than what actually came out of this movie.
Oh, one of my favorite characters that we have not mentioned yet that I would like to, you know, fill in loopholes with or whatever beautiful words you just used, Jess, is Frank, the security guard of the bank, who's played by Bill Duke, who's in a bunch of stuff. And he has maybe my favorite line in the movie, just because there's nothing else of note in the movie, but he says, "You set up that table, I'll make sure dinner arrives hot."
I retire in 2 weeks. This is it. You set up that table, I'll make sure dinner arrives hot.
This guy is a guy 2 weeks away from retirement. He's just like, man, fuck this bank. Like, let's rob him of $8 million. Which, that doesn't make sense either. Like, what? Like, because he is presumably very good at his job. The beginning of the movie, 3 years earlier, catches Keanu about to rob the bank, stops that. And then after Keanu gets out, he remembers Keanu and then is, like, aware enough and reactive enough to, like, know what's going on. And, like, he's, like, giving the eyes to Keanu and James Caan when they're in the bank. Then he's just like, oh, whatever, like, let's rob the bank. Like, what? Like, that doesn't make any sense either.
Yeah, and he has that little scene of exposition where they're sort of all in the car together and they're like, why do you want to help us? And it's so silly. Like, he just, like, in that one scene, he just lays it all out. He's like, well, my wife got sick, so we had to spend, like, all of our money on her bills, and then she died, and I'm left with no money, and I wanted to go to Paris. And it's like, whoa, 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 like, slow down, pal. I didn't ask for your life story, but yeah, not only did he pull a total 180 and suddenly want in on the whole heist, it's like, here's his whole backstory, here's all this, here's all that. It's like, I don't really need his motivation if it's the movie's just gonna decide that all of a sudden he wants to be in on it. Because what the hell, at that point everyone's in on it. Like, they have to hire Keanu's ex-wife's new husband to help dig. Fisher Stevens shows up.
Yeah, and like, the reason they do, like, oh, we need another set of hands, and like, let's go to the only other character in the movie.
Yeah, heaven forbid we introduce somebody new and interesting and exciting.
Okay, and that guy, by the way, is, and maybe I'm missing this, wasn't he Joe, the guy from the beginning who ended up getting him into this place to begin with?
Yep.
And I wrote in my notes, some closure that I needed is, does he ever stop puking when it comes to him having to man up about something?
So that was what was super weird, because, like, we meet Judy Greer's husband, and it's a guy who is, like, the least remarkable looking guy. Not like an insult to him, but just, like, nothing memorable about him. I'm like, do we know him? And then I'm like, oh, okay, that was a guy from earlier in the movie. And then he goes away. And then they're like, oh, we need another set of hands, and he comes back. It could be three different guys for all we know. It's just, like, there's no reason for it. And yes, maybe he is puking the whole movie. And we don't see him puke after that first scene, right? But, like, he's got to be puking all the time. No, he pukes in the...
Yeah, he's puking when he's digging the hole. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I mean, for some reason, they decide to keep the consistency running with the vomit guy. But, like, nothing else about any other character feels consistent to me.
Except for
Vera Farmiga. To me, she is the one character that I feel, like, knows what she's doing. Or at least the one actress that I feel knows what she's doing with what she's given.
They also, what I just realized, or I mean, I realized watching the movie, I just remembered, is they don't care at all about leaving fingerprints on things. They leave the guy there, their fingerprints are all over the shovels. I mean, it's in Keanu's dressing room, so he's screwed. They have no qualms about trying to cover up their crime. I don't know what their plan is. There's like a 4-hour window, right, where the money is here, it gets here at 8, and it gets picked up at midnight. And so they rob the bank closer to 8, probably, but best case scenario, somebody's going to discover that money in 4 hours, and it's probably closer to an hour or two from now. So, like, how far away are you going to get when they trace it down, because they don't, like, cover their tracks, and then they find out that it's the dressing room of Keanu? Like, they're not going to be able to get out of the country. Plus, he's on stage.
Yeah, he's going to go to jail for another crime he didn't commit.
He's bleeding out on stage. He got shot in the leg.
He got shot in the leg and then just sort of grits it out and goes on stage. I do want to point out, though, that the robbery having to be the night of the opening night is a very High School Musical problem to have. Because in High School Musical, there is the basketball game and Gabriella's decathlon, academic decathlon, at the same time as the musicale. So that is, you know, that's all masterminded by Sharpay. Go listen to Zack Attack. You'll know exactly what's going on over there.
Yeah, here's my problem with it in this movie. Like, that is a high school movie trope. Like, that's an American Pie too. Like, the dude has to decide either play the lacrosse game or do the singing thing with the hot girl. And he somehow, and then he leaves the lacrosse game and goes to the, he's in, like, the choir with the girl that he wants to have sex with for the bet. So, like, that's the thing. Like, it's more for comedic effect, I feel, when something like that happens. Like, you mean this is the day of that and I can't do both? Like, it just seemed, like, so inappropriate at this point in the movie. Like, why not just have it the day before? And, you know, I feel like that's a lot more, like, okay, so, like, he'll do the heist and then skip town and, you know, halfway through the play he can show up dramatically and win her back or something. Just, yeah, that was just like another thing. I was like, why is this introduced at this point?
And then can we talk about how they rob the bank and they get away and then Keanu bails on them and he returns to the play, I guess after his character had finished his story arc, right? And he comes in and then just reintroduces himself to the play, but not as the character in the play, as his character in the movie. And he's talking to Vera Farmiga as himself, and she's responding in character, and it's, like, working? Like, I think it's supposed to be funny, but it's not. It's just weird.
Well, you should have gotten on that stupid train. You made a mistake.
The mistake would have been getting on that train. And not telling you how I feel.
No, don't pretend you care about me! Because all you care about is money!
You think this is about money?
Yes!
It's never been about money, you know that.
My sister! Is everything all right?
Do you need any help?
Get out!
Lopakhin, don't you have a train to catch?
Get out! Go away!
Well, here he is, ladies and gentlemen. The selfish peasant who's taken the orchard right out from under us. Who's destroying it. Right in front of our very eyes.
Sometimes you must destroy in order to create.
Oh.
We have to let go of our pasts in order to live.
You are no angel. I see what you are by your actions.
I came back, didn't I? I came back for you.
Yeah, I feel like it was just like a stretch to try and tie in him being an actor in the play and what he was doing in his real life, because it was the story of the play that they were doing. It kind of felt like his character in the play was supposed to be like his character in his real life, and they were trying to marry the two together in a last-ditch effort to make this movie something.
Yeah, it was trying to pull some kind of, like, Birdman magic, where he, like, walks through the audience, and then, like, you know, what he's saying on stage actually relates to his character's life and everything, but, like, it's such a mess. Because another thing on top of it all is the play. I feel like the play having this double meaning about the movie we're watching, or at least the Keanu character, he's playing a con man in the play. He's not a con man in the movie, he's just like a crook.
He's a boring, no, he's not even a crook, he's a boring straight guy.
He's the nicest guy, I guess, right? He's most nicest
most
guy.
Most nicest guy, yes.
It's just weird that they tried to do the thing, like, we saw this very recently where someone's reading a book and that book on a very sort of superficial level relates to the themes and plots, or at least the relationship going on between the two people who don't know each other. And I feel like they went overboard with this movie, having the play be like, look, this play is the movie. Like, don't you get it? This is supposed to be a parallel to the Keanu relationship and this. And I just feel like that was a bit too much. If it was a play, maybe something more like Our Town, that was something you don't have to think too hard about, that is sort of just more well known. And then he comes in at the end and just speaks from the heart. It might have been a little more entertaining for me.
And then the movie ends with Vera just saying, aw, fuck, Henry, and then fade to black. Which, like, is exactly, it shouldn't be the way that we're feeling about this. Just sub out Henry for Henry's crime, like, oh, like, what was the point of any of that?
Maybe this movie is so self-aware.
But it's not, I don't think it is. It's just like, oh boy. Because, like, if it was self-aware, like, you wouldn't want to, like, make just a bad movie. It's not bad. It's just boring with weird choices.
Yeah.
Which is worse than being bad.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just lame. Like, I wrote lame a bunch, and I don't really use that word often. You know, I don't just toss that term around very loosely, but I felt it here strongly.
I ran out of notes a while ago. Jess, do you have anything else to say about Henry's crime?
The only other thing I wrote down, which, you know, feeds back into the whole, is he mentally unwell? Why is Vera Farmiga okay with being around felons? I wrote down that he just met this woman who ran him over. He stalks her out in this theater and they go on a date at like 9 o'clock at night. And then she's like, let's get in the car and go somewhere. And they head to the waterfall. And she's standing there and she says, just think about all the dead bodies rolling around down there. And he's like,
how romantic.
And he's like, oh, let's go get some ice cream and then have sex.
There's a whole bunch of bodies down there churning around, caught in the current.
It's so bizarro to me. I can't even stand it.
Well, I mean, that's like the perfect first date. So,
isn't it though? I mean, I wish someone would have run me over with their car. I mean,
and then yelled at you, then yelled at you for getting run over.
But I love that about her character. She's like, "You idiot! Are you okay? Are you okay?" Like, you're
no, 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 no. But she's not saying that to him, really. She's like kindly, quietly apologizing to the person she's on the phone with. Like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I'm gonna have to call you back." And then she hangs up. And then she just goes on continuing to yell at Keanu. Like, she's never nice to Keanu. There, she's only mad at him for, like, slowing her down, knocking off her, you know, rear view mirror, and causing damage to her car. Like, that's it.
Is it just me, or is she always being interrupted when she's talking to that guy on the phone? Isn't it his name? I think his name's Stanley or Stan, and she's talking to him when she runs Keanu over, and then she's talking to him when James Caan, like, busts into the car. It's kind of like with the scrambled eggs thing. It's the only consistency here.
I wondered if that was even a real person or if it was just part of her personality trait to, like, always pretend like she's on the phone when she doesn't want to talk to somebody or something, but I guess not. I don't know. That also goes along with the 10 minutes I felt after he got hit by the car that he actually died, and the rest of this is just this lame-ass limbo that we're experiencing.
Like Vanilla Sky happening all over again.
Right, and that he's just such a dullard, like, he can't come up with anything fun and exciting to experience in his, like, coma.
Any other notes, Jess, or is that your final note about their adorable, perfect first date?
I mean, I think that's about it. I mean, the only other thing I wrote down was, right before they have sex, she says, I'm so glad I ran you over, and he's like, me too. And then they just go at it. I don't know, it's like the cherry on the top of this, like, fucked up cake.
Mike, do you have any other thoughts about Henry's crime?
I just had one connection that I noticed, and it pertains to a very recent Keanu release. So in this movie, when he gets released from prison, he walks home all the way from jail, and it made me think of John Wick 2, where, like, he just walks from his house to the hotel in Brooklyn and then back again. Like, he just doesn't mind taking a long walk in movies. So I thought that was kind of funny.
I feel like that's like the Zen Buddhism of Keanu Reeves, the actor. Like, I'm okay walking. And, like, he even picks James Caan up from prison. He's like, oh, well, the bus station's not too far away. And James Caan's like, bus? Like, this is not how you pick somebody up from prison.
Yeah, maybe that's the environmentalist in Keanu coming out, where he's like, no carbon footprint with the driving, actual footprint with my feet walking.
So this is one of, let me take a look here. I think the next two are maybe the last two Keanu movies that I haven't seen. We have Generation next, and then Man of Tai Chi. But then after that's 47 Ronin, John Wick, Knock Knock, Exposed, and then, you know, last year's movies. And so there's two more movies that I know nothing about, and then it's all into the stuff that I've already seen. So this is almost the end of a Keanu era.
Wow, for me, going ahead is, I feel like it's the part of his career I've seen the least of is his newest stuff. I've seen the two John Wick movies and Neon Demon, but aside from that, everything else you mentioned, I don't know. I haven't even seen the movie Keanu with Key and Peele or anything.
Which we're tentatively doing for this, but I don't know if we should or not, but we'll get to that later. But yeah. But Jess, you will be back for Anyone Can Quantum / Quantum is Calling, two shorts on YouTube, which I think we're going to do like a quick episode of. So you'll be back
soon.
Those
are my favorite.
There you go. They're going to be better than Henry's Crime. Can you promise us that?
Oh, I can promise.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you again in 7 weeks.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
So for all things Keanu Club, you can go to cageclub.me or facebook.com/cageclub or at cageclubpod on Twitter. You can see all the episodes that we've done, all the shows on our network. There's a lot of Zach connections, I feel like, to this movie, so go listen to Zach Attack. Mike is on this month's episode of Me and Orson Welles. So,
also takes place at a theater.
So also takes place at a theater, yeah. And there's also like kind of like a weird love story there too, for no reason. So lots of Zach connections to this, so go do that. And there's other stuff cool coming out this year. We're wrapping up Keanu in the next couple of months, but there's lots of things for you to listen to at those three places. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
And I'm Mike Manzi.
And that was Jess Collins, and we'll see you next time on Keanu Club.
Let them knock upon my door until their hands are black and blue. I'm not answering for no one until my man and I are through.
Chance on life. Take a chance on Buffalo.